Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here are your hosts, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and today I am joined by my fellow, I'm going to use a pro wrestling term here that some old school wrestling fans may understand, but Brian won't. He's the one half of the Outsiders. I guess I would be the Kevin Nash to his Scott Hall, because that's the shorter guy of the group. Hey, one Mr. Brian E. Roach. What's, hey, you know what? I'm not going to say it like what's going on. I'm going to actually take the Scott Hall line from you, even though you're supposed to be. I'm going to say, hey, yo.
I'm glad you, I would have had no idea what the hell to say, and I wouldn't have gotten it, and I still don't understand what you're talking about, and I don't know anything about wrestling.
And half the people tuning in don't either, so this is great. This is right up my alley, and we're all kind of like, yay, all those people, and the other people are like rolling their eyes. But don't worry, the NFL's fixed too. So anyhow, it's just, I can't get over the – let's start the show with – we have some general potpourri because there's just so much stuff that happened. In fact, stuff happened when we tried to record the other day. It was like, hey, let's talk about that Seahawks game, and then all of a sudden what happened? Ben Roethlisberger was ruled out for the season, and we had to scrap the entire thing because we were already like, you know, we were making insinuations, let's wait until the news comes out. Well, it was like right in the middle of working on it, and we were like, well, that kind of invalidates, like, you know, 15 minutes worth of discussing this, you know, having our little water cooler talk. That's all the more it turned out to be. So we're our batteries are recharged here, and of course some of the stuff that we talked about, which, you know, I think we beat around the bush just enough. We were talking about how you and I are always right, except we may not agree on this one, but we were talking about Minka Fitzpatrick to close out the last show, and lo and behold, look what happens. I never thought in a bazillion years, I'm not even going as far as to the Dumb and Dumber quote of, so you're saying there's a chance. No, I didn't think there was any chance that the Steelers were in the running. It's like, okay, they picked up the phone and, you know, hey, what's this going to cost us? Well, as soon as the words first and round and pick, and actually not even first, just round and pick, get associated with, you know, usually the Steelers front office and any kind of move with another team, it's usually, hey, are you still there? And you get like the dial tone type thing, like right. Somebody hung up the phone. And lo and behold, you know, I'm watching the disaster that was Monday Night Football between the Browns and Jets, which, you know, I don't know if anybody could take a whole lot of positives from that, especially I'm going to rag on Cleveland there, even though they like made Trevor Siemian a tackling dummy and Luke Falk ended up coming in and was still kind of successful against them. They were having some struggles there. I still don't know if that's just September football or just, you know, poor football teams or what, but we're going to look ahead a little bit, you know, to the 49ers here. We're going to look at this move with Minka Fitzpatrick here in a second, because like I said, I didn't think it was ever going to happen, but I actually wanted to change gears one more second too, Brian. Just programming notes, Terry's WTF, what the football, variety show, a number of things. She ends up having a little rant on the instant replay type overturn on the defensive pass interference too. So that's already up. Check that out. And then I'm going to boomerang back around. It's either going to be later on Thursday or early Friday, but I have a special guest coming in from the, the enemy's side. I don't know if the 49ers are necessarily an enemy, but we'll have a guest. A very special guest, by the way. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag just in case his schedule gets tied up and it doesn't happen. So that is scheduled, and that's a pretty big thing to keep your eyes and ears open for. So, Brian, did you think the Minka Fitzpatrick thing was going to happen?
Did I think the Minka Fitzpatrick thing was going to happen? No, I did not think it was going to happen. And I'll tell you, I think it was Ed Bouchette who tweeted out, who made this trade, Buddy Parker? And I wasn't close to the phone, or I would have responded by saying, no, if Buddy Parker made this trade, he would have traded for the other Fitzpatrick. because that's, you know, but for it's those going- guys who don't know the history, Buddy Parker tended to trade away all our high draft picks for ancient veterans, not one-year guys. So this isn't a deal he would have made. But no, I look, in a million years, I did not think this was going to happen. I won't pretend I did. And I still have my reservations about what it costs to do it. But am I thrilled that they got him? Absolutely. You know, I can't even remember, it may be Buddy Parker's age, the last time the Steelers traded a first-round pick.
They haven't been
for a player.
They haven't been without one since like 1933. I think I know that wasn't the right year, but that's the year they were established. But I mean, like, yeah, it's been. I thought I heard somewhere like 68, 67, something. Man, it was a long, long, long time ago. I'm sure I could find it here if I actually took a second. So I will do that. But I think we were both on record saying, you know, this is what it's probably going to cost. I'd be okay with this, not that, you know, and we didn't really think it was going to happen. And we didn't say that he wasn't a good player. We didn't say that we wouldn't like him to be on the Steelers team. But now here he is. And I think we're happy, but we may have differences on this, though, because it did cost the Steelers some stuff. And what they get in return is kind of interesting. And, you know, I made the quote on Twitter. I mean, I was a little Twitter fiend out there on Monday night because I was quite almost falling asleep on the game. And then all of a sudden it's like buzz, 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 buzz. And I got all kinds of friends and family personally texting me too. Oh my God, did you see this? And my Yinzer cousin, of course, is like, this is dumb. And it's like, well, I don't know that it's necessarily dumb. And there's a number of levels of this too, as you know, it's the onions have layers as we peel away each of this. First of all, everyone's kind of like, okay, are the Steelers really down and out with Ben Roethlisberger? He's out for the season now. And then, you know, you get your trolls out there that are like, he's old, he's washed up. There's people already, they still think he's overrated because they just don't understand football. And then you get some that aren't on the Mason Rudolph bandwagon as being the future. You got people that are excited. I think there's people out there, and I think the majority I could speak for are accepting of, okay, this season may not work out the way that we had the high expectations for. We're going to lower our bar, but this could be exciting. This could be a roller coaster ride. We get a little bit of a preview. And if this doesn't work out, this isn't doom and gloom because Ben could be back next year. You know what I mean? If Mason Rudolph doesn't pan out and he's a disaster, and you know, this will be okay. Now, on the flip side of that was, if they're a disaster, then I'm saying the Steelers were making a sucker bet with Miami because Big Ben going out, I think, influences this. Now, all of a sudden, it signals to the Dolphins, well, maybe the Steelers aren't a playoff contender. So this pick, this first round pick in 2020, could potentially be in the top 10. Some people were saying top 5, and while I'm kind of like sitting there like, well, a top 5 pick, I mean, I'm looking at some of the teams that are still out there, and I'm like, I don't think the Steelers are that bad, especially when you look around. I don't think they're going to finish in the bottom of the AFC North, to be completely honest. I think the Bengals are far more atrocious. So there's one team right there, you know what I mean? And then there's other problems around the league. You look at, like, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Miami Dolphins. So, you know, we already named like 3 teams there at the minimum. So you take that into consideration. I'm saying the sucker bet here on the Minka Fitzpatrick thing is that the Dolphins are counting on this being a higher pick. If the Steelers make this move because of a number of reasons, one, we didn't realize that Sean Davis was going to go on IR. I think we kind of factored in that Cam Kelly wasn't exactly penciled in to be a starter, and we already knew the safety depth was kind of thin already, even going into the training camp. And we kind of saw, and I don't think we made a meal of this, Brian, but I think Sean Davis's impact of not being out there is pretty big when it came to the Patriots game and then leaving after a portion or a spell of the Seahawks game. We kind of said, hey, first half defense was pretty good, and then all of a sudden it kind of fell apart. How much of that was influenced by Sean Davis? I don't know. You know, I might have to examine film a little more, but I don't think they were expecting Cam Kelly to be there, nor do I think they wanted to go another 14 games with just Cam Kelly. I think they were investigating what they could and couldn't do, and I made a reference to, hey, this was like when Joe Hayden became available. This was the guy you got to go out and get. And I'm going to, you know, give some more insight to that too as we go on here. But it wasn't just the first round pick. There were some other picks there. But just based on the initial move here, I think the Steelers are all in on believing that this season isn't a lost cause. And I think they're trying to give Mason Rudolph the best chance or the best opportunity, the team overall, but especially Mason Rudolph, some support, because we said the defense has been on the field way too much this season already. It's tiring them out. It's killing everything. So if the offense can kind of do their thing, or the defense can get off, you know, force a 3-and-out and get the offense the ball, and then they're able to do more of their thing, this can really bode well, you know, and help Mason Rudolph, especially if there is like a rookie mistake or something like that, if you strengthen the defense. So I see this as a chess piece, at least in that regard.
yeah, I don't. There's a lot of there's a lot to unpackage in what you just laid out. I think one of the key elements of this is that, you know, with the injury to Ben, the risk here is that, you know, they I won't use the word tank because the Steelers are never in a million years going to tank a season. But if they bottom out where they just flat out stink, the risk is you've given up a really high draft pick next year. But you can turn this around and say, well, what did you really lose? You got a guy who was probably top five in his class. You got a guy who is an elite level player. You got a guy that, you know, maybe you wouldn't have been able to get anyway and that you couldn't have dreamed of in the class that he was in. And you've got him for 3 years on his rookie deal plus the fifth-year option. So you really have him tied up for another 4 years at a reasonable, very reasonable rates, you know, for his position. So what do you really lose? Maybe you lose the potential of drafting a franchise quarterback. Maybe you just lose that top draft pick. And really, that it boils down to you've lost a year of contract safety. So I don't feel that bad about this. And I'm on the board with you and with a lot of people in thinking that the Steelers aren't done yet. This is not a situation where the season is blatantly over. I'm not saying this is a Super Bowl contending team anymore, but it's a playoff contending team, I think, or could be. A lot of questions are going to, of course, hinge on how well Mason Rudolph plays. We talked about this in the last episode where I think there's a lot of reasons to have some positivity about this. I tend to be, even though I'm from Ohio, I tend to be from Missouri when I'm talking about things that I need to see. So I'm show me. You know, I need him to show me that he's going to do this stuff rather than me just assuming he's going to do it based on preseason work, because preseason work, it does not influence me heavily. But, you know, in the half of football that he did play, he had some ups, he had some downs. I think for the most part it was good. And there's reason to think that he can win some games. They're certainly still going to beat the Dolphins.
Well, that's the way I feel. I hope so.
I look at this and say they're not going to lose to Miami in Pittsburgh, which is where I think they play.
Yes. It's a Monday night, one of two Monday night football games.
Yeah, and you know, so worst case, they're still the number two pick. Even if everybody else loses every game, if they lose every other game, they've got one win. It's over Miami, and Miami's probably not going to win anything. So
they win the first round. They were in the first pick overall, which is going to probably be a quarterback.
That's what they win. Yeah. And here's the other caveat to this. I'm not sure I want any of the quarterbacks that are going to come out in this year's draft class. We don't know for sure who's going to come out. But from the guys who we know for sure are probably coming out, I'm not sure I want any of them as taking a risk that high on. Because, you know, we've talked heavily in the past about how even first round can't miss quarterbacks, Ryan Leaf, miss.
Yes.
And they don't pan out. So, you know, I think it's a shock to have them trade a first-round draft pick away because they simply don't do it. 1967, you were right on.
Boom.
Is the last time the Steelers did not have a first-round draft pick. 1967. I cannot, unfortunately, say that is not within my lifetime. It is within my lifetime. It isn't within yours.
No, but I was born after the Jurassic period.
Yeah. But so there's that aspect of this. I do think that the Steelers probably feel that with the group they have, they still have a team that can win games. And I will say this, the way they win this trade is for the Dolphins to stink, which they do, so that the fourth round pick they got for their fifth round pick, so to speak, ends up being a higher pick, you know, in almost a third round pick. Maybe it's the first pick in the fourth round. And if that's the case and their first round pick is below 20, I think that they win this trade hands down.
Oh yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Definitely. And that is a good way to look at this. Now this, it is a little scary because, you know, probably Bud's not back next year. And so you wonder, where are we going to go grab ourselves an edge rusher? But don't forget that we have Ola on the team, and maybe Ola is going to develop. Mm-hmm. And I think I saw a tweet that said if Anthony Chiccolo is getting more snaps than Ola in the next game, they're going to lose their mind or go insane.
Well, part of along those lines. Exactly. Part of that's the offense having like an average of what, like a minute and a half for each possession so far this year.
Yeah, I think it's something like 3 minutes. Yeah, it's
I know.
Nothing.
But you know what? You're taking like the one or two that were actually drives. Those series that are drives, you toss those out, and it's like three and out, three and out, three and out under 2 minutes each time. I mean, that's why Anthony Chiccolo is on the field, because then the other team's getting drives because the defense is like gassed and it sucks. What else can you say about that?
Yeah.
There's
nothing you can.
I mean, I'm not worried about like the, you know, I think about where they're, this is where some people were trying to get at, and they're like, oh, well, Tua will come out and he's going to go to the Dolphins or something. You know what I mean? Or somebody else. I don't think the Steelers would have that high of a pick. And even when they do have that high of a pick, where are their other needs going to be? You pretty much hit the nail on the head. Who's leaving? I mean, Hayden was retained. You're looking at that draft class a few years ago, basically, of Artie Burns, Sean Davis, Javon Hargrave, and then, of course, the fifth-year option given on the guy drafted the year before. For this year, Bud Dupree. And, okay, you've got some starters there. Well, you've already got your starter replaced with Minkah Fitzpatrick here. There's no doubt about that. It is already announced in the press conference that, you know, he's starting a free safety right now. This is a right now thing. And like you said, it is it's a cheap contract. You know, I hate to say that because, you know, all these guys make more money than
I do.
Still
millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's still millions of dollars. But
for us combined.
But but comparatively versus going out and trying to sign a free agent or having another draft need, This is somebody that's almost like already a proven commodity, a star on the rise, and somebody that they were salivating over during their draft process. And as Mike Tomlin mentioned in his press conference, we kind of knew for the collateral it would take to get somebody like him, they weren't going to go and get him. He was 11th round or 11th overall pick just a year earlier. And, you know, that's significant too, because first round pick, that means there could be a fifth year option on him. So he has 3 years left on his rookie deal starting this year. So 2 years in addition beyond 2019 with a potential fourth as that fifth year option as a first round pick. It doesn't matter if the Steelers didn't draft him or not. That's just the way it is when it comes to contracts. If you're a first round pick, then you could be a fifth, you could be fifth year optioned. And the Dolphins already paid signing bonuses and this, that, and the other thing that were, you know, whether it was first year or prorated for second year, he was on the roster for the Dolphins. So the Dolphins eat $2.6 million and $5 million in 2019 and 2020. So the Steelers are only paying a little over $1 million, just under $2 million, and then 2.7 over the next 3 years and a fifth year option for a guy that could be an all pro safety. I mean, I don't want to inflate this anymore, like, you know, build this up, but the expectation's already there. Let's face it.
Absolutely.
He's shown it. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, absolutely. You're talking, you know, that's why I say the real risk here is that the pick is you know, generational. It's so high. It's a once in a lifetime type pick, but that's unlikely for them. You know, and what you're now talking about is look at what they have essentially netted in the last 2 years drafts by doing this trade. Take next year included. That means that within the next, what was Minka's pick? He was 11?
Yeah, he was 11.
Minkah? Yeah. He was 11. So in the last three drafts, if you include 2020, we get nothing in 2020, but we have a top 10 pick and a top 11 pick in the two previous drafts. That's pretty good capital for people who generally are picking below 20. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can't, again, I don't expect the Steelers to be picking in the top 10 even now, if they had that pick. So the idea that, you know, we would have had a shot at a franchise quarterback, I think is unrealistic, because they're just not that bad. Okay. And while I don't, like I said, they could have a losing record. They could be 7-9. They could be 6-7, but I actually expect them to continue the tradition of Tomlin not having a losing record and either come in 8-8 or 9-7. Doesn't mean they'll make the playoffs. But if they stay in that area, more than likely this is a pick that's below 15, maybe even below 20. And, you know, you weren't going to be in the quarterback conversations anyway. So it you know, there's not a lot of risk, I think, honestly, there. And the big caveat is, even if Mason stinks the joint out, mm-hmm. you know, even if he is flat out terrible and proves that he is not the successor, I'm not saying that will be the case. Let me be clear. But I'm saying, if that's the case, next year you got Ben.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
You've got to, you know, more than likely you've got Ben next season. And that gives you a chance to then, again, push the quarterback. We need a new quarterback conversation down the road a little bit.
Well, yeah, exactly, because you still have Ben for an additional 2 years. So that doesn't necessarily mean they have to draft a quarterback with that high pick. Just because they have a high pick, now it's like, let's take a quarterback, you know what I mean? And that's not necessarily always going to be the answer to your problems either. I mean, we've seen it with so many franchises over the years. You see what the New York Giants are going through right now, the Arizona Cardinals or anybody else. I mean, it's still, you know, there's works in progress still with the rookie quarterbacks from last year, which includes Mason Rudolph. This could be one of the greatest quarterback classes ever if everybody ends up, you know, living up to their pedigree. So we'll have to see. But basically, like, we already said this, you know, it's like, this guy's on a rookie contract. You're not getting somebody like, okay, Jalen Ramsey's out there floating around and everybody's like, oh, go get Jalen Ramsey too. No, he wants paid, and they don't have the money to pay that. But this freedom now over these several years with Minkah Fitzpatrick means now that they could do their deals that they're going to need to do next year. Probably they're going to have to start thinking about, you know, the 2017 class with Juju and Watt and James Connor and what they're going to do with that. And what do you do with Mike Hilton? What do you do with Bud Dupree and all those other guys that I was mentioning too? And there's going to be some changeover, and I expect that too, based on however the D plays. I don't think anybody in their right mind honestly believes Bud Dupree is a Steeler past this season. I know there's some that would be happy if he wasn't this year at all. He doesn't have the sack numbers that are up there for an outside linebacker being paid. Well, he's getting paid, but on this flip side, he's also getting paid, even though he's got $9 million on a fifth-year option as a first-round pick on his rookie deal, he's still underpaid compared to a lot of his peers that don't do a whole lot more either. So the Steelers are probably going to look elsewhere there just because they don't have a whole lot of green bills in their wallet, so to speak. This is some flexibility, because now this is a spot where if Sean Davis, we don't know what it's going to be like, how he's going to return. I don't even know if he will return this year.
If he's going to return.
If he returns this season, who knows? I don't know what the timetable is on that. He would be eligible. They could bring two back off IR now, but it'll be, you kick that can into what? This is like week two, so I think that's like week 10. Maybe I don't have that officially, but I know it's like off in the distance, you know. So he's got to sit on IR for about half a season to be eligible to come back, roughly. And you know, if he heals up or whatever, that's just another chess piece in the arsenal for the defense. But now you get to see, you get a guy that, like you said, not only just, you know, top safety of the class, top of his class, period, as far as a player, and that's pretty important. And Tomlin was talking about the tandem of liking Edmonds and Fitzpatrick, and I like this as well. I'm just thinking this may be the missing puzzle piece there. This is going to help the defense, I think, tremendously. There may be a little bit of growing pains because, you know what, he hasn't had camp. He gets like a week of practice. The Steelers defense is already having communication problems. Like, give one guy the green dot too. That's driving me crazy. You got TJ Watt doing it, and then you're supposed to have Vince Williams doing it. He gets hurt, and I assume that Devin Bush was doing some of those duties as well, and it's just, you know, that's a mess, and we've seen that was a mess before. And I think, you know, injuries ravage certain things, but the roster spot opened up. Fitzpatrick comes in, and I think it's also a statement of, hey, this is a guy that we think can improve this team now at a position of weakness. I think regardless whether or not Sean Davis gets hurt, I think that helped force their hand, but I think they were thinking it already, depending on what it was going to cost them. And I think for a first-round pick, I think it's equitable there. Now, you look at the other picks that were involved in this, too. There was, what, a fourth and a fifth? And let me see. Dolphins trade, okay, they trade Minkah, a fourth rounder in 2020, and a seventh rounder in 2021. And the Steelers trade their first rounder in 2020, fifth rounder 2020, and a sixth rounder in 2021. I had this backwards. So, man, I butchered this one, Brian. I was just looking at the own thing I wrote on the site, and I had a brain fart here. So basically the Steelers, the Steelers go from a fifth rounder to a fourth rounder. Now, if you're making the sucker bet of they're going to have a later pick rather than an earlier pick, they jump up like they jump out of the fifth round, however late they are there, into the Dolphins' fourth round spot, which should be about the highest, we're assuming, one, two, or three in each round. That's with compensatory picks, that's like 60 spots, man. I mean, that's
it's crazy.
That's very significant. So if the Steelers end up with, on the, even with the winning record, let's say they're 9-7 and just miss the postseason, they win the trade. And then you also get to see if your, your quarterback's developed, if he's the future, if he's going to be any good, and then make a decision next year, what you do, Ben Roethlisberger comes back, does he get his job, blah, blah, blah. You can figure all that out later. But you have an idea what your defense looks like, too, with Minkah Fitzpatrick. And if he's not a stinker and none of us believe that, have any reason to believe that would be the case, so you're winning right there. So, and then it's a seventh rounder for a sixth rounder. So I actually had it flipped the other way. So then they go back, I don't know, like 60 picks the other direction into the seventh round, and it's like, well, who cares? It's like sixth and seventh rounders aren't guaranteed anything, and I still don't think they would have that many holes
just
to fill.
Just ask Sutton Smith.
Yeah, I know. It's like nothing's guaranteed. I don't think they have that many holes to fill next year. So doing this him and hawing over the first round pick, you know, nothing's guaranteed with first round picks. Plenty of people are still complaining about Jarvis Jones or Bud Dupree or Artie Burns or anything like that. So, you know, that's where it is. It's like, okay, I'm kind of cool with that. You know what I mean? Because now you've secured a guy. So essentially all you did was lose a year out on him. And now you get to see the future early. You get to open your Christmas present in September.
Exactly. It's we got next year's draft pick this year. That's the way to look at this. We got next year's draft pick this year. And I think that's fine. There's, like I said, I think that there's ways that this still goes south on the Steelers, but there are many, many more ways this ends up as a positive deal. And, you know, if Minnick, how do you say his name?
Minkah. Come on, man.
Minkah.
It's like a mink coat.
I want to call him Minnick.
No, that's not
Minkah. I apologize to Minkah for not being able to pronounce his name, but you now belong to the great fraternity of people who I can't pronounce their names. So
half the NFL.
half the NFL. So Minkah, if Minkah is even a third of the player we think he is, you know, this is well worth the pick. I didn't want to give up a first round pick. I was upfront in saying that. I still am not sure I wanted to give up a first round pick, but I will hedge my bets and say that I will put my faith in the franchise and say I'll wait and see how this turns out. I give them full props for the ginormous brass balls they had to do this.
Mm-hmm. I will too.
Because it took a pair. It took a big pair to do this, you know, and take this kind of a aggressive risk towards what they expect to have happened this season. And we will see at the end of the year, either we'll be crying or laughing. And I have a feeling that we will be at the end of 2020. I think we're going to, I guess it is the end of 2020 because the Super Bowl will be next year. I think we'll be content that this was a good deal for us.
Well, I'm also looking at it from this aspect of they kind of already have an idea with their scouting department of who's coming out when and what safeties are available, what safeties might be available in free agency, et cetera, et cetera. And that's another thing that kind of forces your hand to think, well, this guy will be available, this guy won't be available, where might we end up drafting? And then even if you draft somebody, it doesn't mean they're an instant hit, an overnight sensation. They could be a complete bum too, you know, as tough as it is to say about other human beings, they're just not sometimes as good on the professional level of football as their other peers. And that's what happens. And so, you know, you're hedging your bets on that too. And I think that's a safer bet to do the deal with Minkah Fitzpatrick instead of wait and potentially go through some really painful woes with whatever might happen in that secondary over the course of the next 14 games. And then Hope you get somebody who's healthy and good with whatever draft pick you end up with. And that's considering you even use the first round draft pick on a position of need with safety, or if Sean Davis is available, or whatever be the case. There's just a lot of mitigating factors there, and you eliminate some of that. And while you're eliminating some of that, you've improved the defense. You give them another chess piece, another first round pick. There's a ton of them now. And I know there's going to be some, there's even speculation about Keith Butler being on the hot seat now already. I don't know how much of this is sometimes Tomlin or Butler, or just players flat out stinking and not doing their jobs as they're coached to do. You're assuming they are coached and the game plan is there and all of those things as they should be, and maybe it's just not executed properly by certain individuals. So you're hoping that all of this improves. At the same time, you're going over a change. I don't think it's a dramatic change with Mason Rudolph under center. It'll be a change because he hasn't played. He's not a veteran. All of this is new. You know what I mean? He hasn't experienced certain things. I think his timing, I think the playbook and everything like that, this isn't like Michael Vick stepping in, or even Landry Jones. And I mean, Landry Jones came in there, and one of the first things I noticed, I remember he came in that Arizona Cardinals game years ago when Michael Vick got hurt. Michael Vick went, you know what, he scrambled as he does because he doesn't find anybody to throw to, and you know, no fault of his own, like he didn't get a full training camp either, you know what I mean? And he's also a lefty.
Yeah.
Remember how miserable it was for Antonio Brown with Michael Vick playing? Like, I don't necessarily see that occurring with Mason Rudolph, Juju Smith-Schuster, and this will be an uptick, especially maybe for James Washington, provided he's doing what he's supposed to be doing on the field, running the right routes and things of that nature. So, you know, this is what becomes exciting times for, you know, the Steelers fans. You know, we should be really down in the dumps. We should be really depressed, because in any other situation in the NFL, let's say you're the Jets. You get a new head coach. This is the thing everyone's clamoring for, right? Fire the head coach. Fire everybody. You get Adam Gase in there. You give a boat bushels of money to Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley, and you got like Jamal Adams, and you got these kind of guys there, right? You convince the what's his name, Khalil. He was originally what, from Minnesota, the center. He came out of retirement to go play with them. And it's like, and now you're supposed to compete because, you know, the rest of your division has been trash for a while. You're supposed to compete. And now all of a sudden, you know, you got Sam Darnold with mono. But let's just say he was out for the season. And do you really have a whole lot of confidence with like Trevor Siemian or Luke Falk or anything like that? It's a little bit different with the Steelers situation. It's not like they're resting on like a Bruce Gradkowski, or I know a lot of people love Charlie Batch, but Charlie Batch, he was who he was, average quarterback with a great defense. And that would be awesome for Mason Rudolph, but I think we have a higher expectation of Mason Rudolph. We're all thinking this guy was a steal. Brian, this was another one of your picks you disliked, and now we're going to get to see if it pans out, right? Because at the time, you were disagreeing with it, and I was kind of like, hey, you know what? What's the major risk here? That he never gets on the field. He never gets to play. And we were all confused by it because of Josh Dobbs. And look how the team managed that. Now, unfortunately, they traded Josh Dobbs away. And now that he's no longer there, and they have a backup that's really, really raw in Devlin Hodges. But I think he could he could keep the ship afloat, maybe. We don't want to see that necessarily. And then, of course, Paxton Lynch, who is the guy everybody wanted to draft over Artie Burns, and goes the very next pick several drafts ago out of the NFL and everything else, couldn't make ends meet in Denver. And now they get this guy on the practice squad. It's interesting how it comes like full circle like that, because obviously, you know, the Steelers just don't bring him in. I don't think they bring him in on a whim. I know he's one of the guys on the list that's available, but he's definitely somebody that they looked at in that draft process, and he was supposed to be the future and the heir to Big Ben, and you see how that ends up turning out. But I, for all intents and purposes, I don't have that gut feeling of, what do you want to say? I've mentioned this with Landry Jones. He used to make me ill to watch, especially early on in the, when he first started, first couple years. Then it looked like he was a little better, but every now and then, deer in headlights, not the best decision making with the football or anything like that. I haven't seen anything like that for Mason Rudolph, so I see why he gets the vote of confidence here. And like we just said before, it doesn't look like the Steelers are ready to pack it in just yet. And I think the fans who should be frustrated with an 0-2 team, and we're getting frustrated with Ben maybe not making the best throws or defensive miscues, now have a new piece on each side this early, week three, to it's re-energized everything and maybe given some different hopes and different outlooks on the season.
Yeah, I want to go back and state unequivocally, I was against Mason Rudolph being drafted. I was 100%. And it wasn't anything to do with Mason Rudolph. It had to do with exactly what Ben tweeted out at the time. How did that help them win that year? And it didn't. And I felt that there were other needs. Now, that being said, once they drafted him, okay, all aboard. Let's see what he has. And I've been critical of Mason Rudolph because I am, as I said, I'm a show me kind of guy. You need to show me that you can do it, as opposed to me projecting off of things that aren't necessarily real life. I hope the kid does well. I certainly will not be rooting against him just to prove that my angst about the draft pick was well reserved. I even said it that night. When we did our post game, I said, I don't like this pick, but I hope in the future I find out that I'm wrong.
Yeah, I know.
And this is his chance to prove me wrong and say, you know, this was a great pick and turns into a steal. You know, Mason Rudolph doesn't have the best arm. That's just facts. He's going to underthrow some guys on deep balls. His arm strength is not what it is. But what he does have is a ridiculous amount of confidence in himself. And he's savvy enough to know the game. I think, I'm pinning a lot of hopes on chemistry between him and James Washington. If the Oklahoma State chemistry can be rekindled between these two, that does nothing but bode well for the Steelers. Because James Washington becomes a threat for this team, a legitimate threat, that reopens up the game for Juju and anybody else. I also think that Deontay Johnson is on the verge of starting to make some big splashes.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a rookie. He's still, finding time when he needs it. But with Dante Moncrief's woes, and he came out today and said that he believes it's him putting too much pressure on himself. But Mike Tomlin was not kind to Dante Moncrief in his press conference when he was asked about him. Let's just put it that way.
And the entire city of Pittsburgh and all of Steelers Nation worldwide, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much everybody has been on the cut him. They're not going to cut him, not yet. They're going to at least see if there's if in fact he can get his way out of this funk. He's not a bum. He just has looked like a bum. And for whatever the reasons are, I still will hold off judgment and say he needs to be gone until if he continues this way, well, yeah. But what I think is going to happen is you're going to see the other guys starting to get some of his time until he shows he can be dependable and he can make the catches that he needs to make, or even one would be good starting point.
Yeah.
One. And go from there. So there are things to, like I said at the beginning of the show, there are things to be excited about here. And even if you no longer have the expectation of hoisting a trophy at the end of the season, which I don't, let me be clear, I don't have that. Well, again, I hope I'm wrong. I don't have that kind of expectation anymore. I have a much more limited expectation, which is maybe we get in the playoffs and maybe we win the division. Because again, I'm still not convinced anybody else in the division is any better. Despite the 2-0 Ravens, yes, blowing up really awful teams.
Well, we're going to find that out real quick too, because they have the Chiefs this upcoming week.
Oh yeah,
and of course the Steelers are going to get both the Bengals and Ravens in weeks 4 and 5. I still think, especially the season in jeopardy, but if they could handle San Francisco, which, San Francisco, the same thing. If San Francisco plays the Patriots and Seahawks, you think they're 2-0? 1-1 or 0-2?
No.
I think they're 0-2 as well. I mean, I don't see you know, the Steelers kind of got jobbed in that game. I'm not going to lie. I'm still mad about the officiating, especially that overturned defensive pass interference call. I'm gonna hold on to that the same way I did with that Chargers game last year. And unfortunately, it is a loss. There's nothing we can do about it. You gotta work around that. And they had opportunities too. They blew games with the Raiders and with Denver and, you know, things of that nature. So we're going to see how this works. But, Rudolph's been an efficient quarterback, man. I mean, I know he's been playing against the JV squads out there, but when you're completing like 67% of your passes, it's nothing to sneeze at. You know what I mean? And that's where Josh Dobbs went wrong during the preseason. And, you know, that gives me some optimism at least. And I think this is also going to bode well for the one thing we haven't really had any complaints about has been the Steelers' offensive line through two games. They've handled the Patriots' front seven. They've handled the Seahawks' front seven. I think if Randy Fichtner doesn't go, you know, Big Ben pass trigger happy with Mason Rudolph in the same way, which I don't think they should, considering, you know, he's a second-year guy, first-time starter, this could bode well for James Conner. And I think James Conner being a little dinged, and we've already seen Jalen Samuels getting some touches. We saw Benny Snell get a little bit of playing time. Maybe we get back to that 20-plus touch thing we've talked about, Brian. And if these guys touch the ball 20-plus times, time of possession keeps your defense rested on the sideline, and the Steelers' offensive line is capable of pushing people around, and then, hey, maybe you have some semblance of an offense, and you can get some things going there to where you don't have to rely on Mason Rudolph. Because if Mason has to throw 40 or 50 balls, you're asking an awful lot. I mean, who knows? He may be able to do it. But that's not the way the Steelers won when Big Ben was in the same situation when he was young. Big Ben's attempting like 18 passes, and it was like, hey, let's hand off, you know, to Bettis. Let's hand off to Willie Parker. And then he had the defense, you know, that behind him to support that. And I know a lot of people are still going to be naysayers and saying that maybe they don't see the same things with the defense. I see some small breakdowns here and there. Again, what was it, 5 of 13 that the Seahawks were on third downs? That's still a pretty good number. I think the biggest thing that kills them there, they shot themselves in the foot with the Nia McCullers penalty, the Dante Moncrief letting the thing slip through his hands. And those things are going to happen in a game, and you have to overcome them. And they almost did. They were able to force some turnovers. They've been making some splash plays. These things are starting to materialize, and I think by the time you get into the middle of the season, regardless of the record, I think the defense is going to be a very formidable unit, because you're going to get Minka some time now. Devin Bush is not just going to be a raw rookie. He's going to have, you know, maybe 8 games under his belt in B season, and there's already talk of how natural he is in his roles. I do like everybody else in the secondary as well, even though, you know, he's had some headaches here or there maybe with Mike Hilton. Cameron Sutton came out and looked absolutely amazing. You got Steven Nelson and Joe Hayden already locked down. Terrell Edmonds looks good in coverage also, and he's out there making some plays. It's just a matter of time before he makes a splash play, I believe, as well. And when you add Minka into this mix now, I don't think it's as big of a question mark. I think you're starting to get into the territory of, you know, we thought the Ravens may have had the best secondary, you know, in the division. You look around the division, you look at what Baltimore has done, but they've done it against poor opponents. You saw the Browns struggle through the first 2 weeks as well, even though they're 1-1. And the Bengals have also struggled, and I know the Steelers have also struggled, but again, it's albeit two good teams. They go and play somebody that's maybe on even keel, like a San Francisco 49ers team, or, you know, they get to play the Bengals or something like that. I think they can easily turn this around, and then all of a sudden, where are you at? You're right back. You're in the mix. You're in the race. The trade looks good. In fact, the other one looks good too, because they moved up to get Mason Rudolph, and now a lot of these things that were question marks and there were a lot of naysayers maybe put the rest. On the flip side, Brian, is this all just goes downhill. The 49ers put up 40. The Steelers offense scores 3. Chris Boswell misses 2 field goals, and it's just, let's put everyone to sleep. Like, stick a fork in it.
there will be the hue and cry that will erupt on Steelers Twitter if the Steelers get the ball and go 3-and-out in their first series will be unbelievable. And I agree with you. Look, I actually saw yesterday somebody criticizing the O-line. for its play. And I don't think you can criticize them in pass protection at all. They've done an excellent job in pass protection, but they have not opened the kind of holes you expect to see consistently in the run game. Admittedly, that usually takes some effort and time. I agree with you. Running backs need to get multiple touches in a game to be effective, and it's not piecemeal work where, you know, you give them one touch in the first series and one touch in the second series and throw four incompletions and now you're kicking the ball. Doesn't work that way. They do have to try and emphasize the run in these upcoming games. You've got to go back to the mold that worked, or the theme that worked when Ben Roethlisberger was a rookie, and give Mason Rudolph as much support as you can. And that means the running game is going to have to step up. And, you know, we talked about this the other day as well. Everybody, I think, is going to rally around this kid. I think he's well-liked on the team. And I think that they want to win for themselves, don't get me wrong. But they're going to want to make sure that they do the best they can for this kid. And that includes, you know, everybody on the team. So if we start to see, if Fichtner comes out and in the first series throws the ball three times and it's a three and out,
I will break my TV.
I may call for his head. And, you know, I don't call for anybody's head. I don't call for firings of anybody. But I may be the first one saying fire Fichtner, because you cannot. I don't care what they say, even though they say they're not going to change things because it's not Ben. You cannot not change things. You have to change stuff up. You have to do what you can do. There's another aspect to this, though, that I think is important, and it's something Ben didn't like doing. And there's three letters that I'm going to say, and you probably know what they are. And if you don't, I'm going to tell you. They are RPO.
Oh yeah, yeah. I was just going to say run.
Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph can do RPOs. Ben didn't like doing RPOs. This is a quarterback that can fit into that kind of mold. So take advantage of it. Start using run-pass options. Start doing, you know, things that fit this quarterback's style, even though he has some similarities to Big Ben. You know, he doesn't have the arm strength that Ben has. He doesn't have the deep downfield accuracy that Ben normally has, although, you know, there's a lot of speculation because people were talking about he actually hurt this in New England and maybe shouldn't have ever even been playing.
Possibly.
Who knows how long this has actually been bothering him, and he hasn't looked like himself this season in some ways. So, it's just crucial to me that the first series of this San Francisco game, the first offensive series of this game, is going to be telling in a lot of ways, because it's going to tell us, do they understand that it's not Ben, and do they understand they have to do what they need to do to try and help the kid? That doesn't mean it has to be successful, and it doesn't mean it has to be something more than a three and out, but you need to see the philosophy be appropriately changed to give this kid the best chance of success he can get.
Yeah, and I think he has a good enough surrounding cast. Like we said, Juju, proven. Connor, proven. Three, Pro Bowl, maybe two All Pros on the offensive line, proven. Vance McDonald, grown ass man. So you're just waiting for one of those other components, one of these other receivers, maybe to step up and help shoulder the load. And obviously McDonald did that as well. He was heavily involved in the play calling and maybe just getting open too. I don't know that he was always the primary read on several of those plays that ended up going his way, including the one touchdown. The one touchdown, I think, was just kind of a kind of delayed, and they sold it, and it was exactly what you were talking about, run-pass option type deal. So I think this is going to be interesting. In fact, there was some talk about run-pass option was the reason Ben threw that pick at the end of the Denver game, the one that, you know, pretty much cost him not even doing his radio show anymore, and maybe, you know, started the beginning of the end of the Killer Bees, because now they're all gone. Every single one of them, including Ben. Ben's not exactly gone, but he is for the season. That's just amazing to me. You look at this, you know, Martavis Bryant goes, and then Bell sits out, and then Antonio Brown, and now Ben. And it's like, you know, if you told my past self this like 2 years ago, well, they're not going to win anything. They're going to miss the playoffs, and they're going to have a brand new quarterback and trade their first round pick and also sign a corner in free agency for like $28 million or whatever the heck it was that Steve Nelson got. I would have been like, what are we talking about? Did Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin get fired? Like, what happened here? So it's interesting.
I have to interject something.
Yeah, go ahead.
There is still another killer bee left.
Boswell?
There you go.
I was stretching there. I was
thinking, he's a bee, and he's a killer. At least he was. He wasn't so much a killer last season, but he looks on his game this year.
Yeah, let's hold our breath still a little on that. You know what I mean? Like I said, it could have been a Cinderella ending there, and you're expecting it. So far, I mean, it's still there. It's still mentally there. People still have that in the back of their heads every time he lines up, unfortunately. It's just one of those things. I was going to say Jordan Berry, by the way, but
could
be. You know, hey, I was trying something different here. So, well, I think that'll wrap it for us on this one, because, you know, that was a lot to digest, just this Minka Fitzpatrick move and having Rudolph slide in there. I think there's enough optimism here to at least see where this team goes. I don't know about being sub 500. I think they're going to be competitive. Playoffs might be a lot to ask, might not. They may be on a path to win the division still. You just never know. They just got to handle the business in the AFC North, and I think if they do that and don't tank some of these other games, I mean, you look at some of the stuff that's on the schedule. What did we mention? We mentioned the Jets. We mentioned, well, it's the AFC least. It's the teams that the Patriots get to play twice a year all the time. And they're finally on the schedule. So that kind of helps. The Chargers are getting banged up all over the place, too. You go out there, and I expect that stadium, just like before, to be all Steelers fans. That might be a road home game, even though it's on the West Coast. The Colts, you know, the Colts don't have Andrew Luck. I mean, there's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of developments. Yeah. Arizona Cardinals. There's all kinds of things that are still going on and developing around the NFL that doesn't make this impossible. The Patriots were the scariest thing on the schedule, and that's out of the way. Maybe the Rams.
Yeah, let's actually think about this. And I know that we're running late, and we've got a lot of, but you know, we're up against it. But nonetheless, I want to do this. Let's do this brief exercise, right? So at 49ers, win loss.
I'm going to say win. Desperate.
Okay, you're going to say win.
Desperate, they're going to rally. Yes.
I'm going to say they're going to win too, even though I'm very hesitant.
I know. I think, cautiously optimistic.
I'm cautiously optimistic. Okay, then they got a Monday night game against the Bengals at home.
Yes, without a doubt.
I think that's a win.
Statement
so that's
game.
Now we're 2-2. Ravens at home. A game that you and I will both be at, by the way.
Yeah, that didn't work out well when we were at it last year.
We're talking about last year. It's a different year.
Yeah, different year. And based on the other two games, if they roll in after winning two, I think it's going to be a momentum shift. And I was just looking at Baltimore's schedule, and I'm going to pull it up here because Baltimore may be shifting in the opposite direction. I know they gave the Chiefs fits last year, but they get the Chiefs and then three divisional games in a row. So they play Cleveland at home. So that'll be interesting because, you know, Cleveland gave them fits last year too. Ravens could even be in a 2-2 situation. They could be 3-1. I think the Steelers are going to look at that and say, we need to gain ground and try and overcome them in the division. I hate to say anything because it's usually a split with Baltimore, but at home, I'd like to favor them at home at least.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that by the time the Ravens game is over, the Steelers and the Ravens are both 3-2.
That would be...
Because that's what I think could happen.
That'd be ideal now, if this was all fake and fixed. That's the way I would write it up.
Yeah. Now at the Chargers, I'm gonna give that to the Chargers. It's a tough game. I don't know how banged up they're gonna be at that point. That they've got weeks to heal. I'm gonna give that to the Chargers and say, okay, now we're 3-3.
Yeah, we're gonna
go.
Well, I was gonna say, you know, it's Phillip Rivers, and you know that was a back and forth game too. You know, we're going to see what the Dolphins do. They get the Texans, or not the Dolphins, I'm sorry. The Chargers have the Texans, Dolphins, and Broncos all coming up before the Steelers. So you get a little bit better of a picture. They do have back-to-back home games, so that bodes well for them too. Phillip Rivers, I think they have a good coaching staff. We still don't know what's going to be going on with Melvin Gordon there. They're losing guys too. I forget who else just got hurt. I thought Derwin James or somebody got banged up. There was somebody else that got banged up. Mike Williams still played, but he was nursing something that was sore. They lost Hunter Henry. So they don't necessarily come in with all the firepower, and of course not having Gordon there. They've been rolling with Austin Eckler, but he's been hot. He's been real hot lately. But again, they just dropped a game to the Detroit Lions. That was a 13-10 barn burner. at Detroit. So I don't know. That's going to be a coin flip for me, because then the Steelers go into a bye, and I know that's what you're heading towards. They're going to go into the bye, and they have three straight home games.
Yeah, and this is what I'm looking at. Look, they don't travel well to begin with. This is now going to be the second trip to the West Coast in a couple weeks. That's why I'm going to lean. If we win San Francisco, I think we might lose to the Chargers. And I can live with that. I can live with being 3-3 considering the circumstances at that point. We get our bye, and then we have Dolphins, Colts, Rams, all at home. Right?
Yeah.
Dolphins is a win. If they lose to the Dolphins, then give up on the season.
Trade everyone. Turn into the Dolphins.
Turn it into the Dolphins, because there's no excuse for losing the Dolphins, who at that point should be like 0-6. So they lose to the they win to the Dolphins. God, don't say they lose to the Dolphins. The Colts, I think, will be a better team by the time we see them, because Jacoby Brissett will have had time to get much more comfortable in the offense. But it's at home. We tend to beat the Colts. I'm going to give us the win there. And I didn't even ask you about the Dolphins, because if you say differently, I'm going to you've lost credibility.
They've lost to them like the last two, at least the last two games. But there's nothing left there. The only thing is that they would overlook them for some reason and get taken by a surprise, or they just stink that bad by the time you get to that point that it's a coin flip. And all those things are possible, by the way. You know, I'm trying to be optimistic and homerish. Yeah. You know, so
anyway, so at the end of this, I don't think they beat the Rams. I thought they would beat the Rams at the beginning of the season. At this point, I don't think they beat the Rams. They handled the Saints, admittedly without Drew Brees, pretty easily. And I don't think they're going to beat the Rams at that point in the season with essentially what it boils down to being a rookie quarterback. So even if we go there, we're still, 5-4 at this point, right? Are my maths correct?
I think it's there.
5-4. So now we got at the Browns, at the Bengals, and then the Browns at home. Three division games. If I'm being generous and say they split with the Browns, which I actually don't think they'll do, I think they'll sweep the Browns, and I think they sweep the Bengals. Now we're 8-4. If we sweep, 7-5 if we don't. Right?
Yeah.
Cardinals, that's a win. Cardinals is a win. That's 8-8. Let's go optimistic, and they sweep the Browns. And you know why? Look, Browns fan that trolled us on our last show, this is why. This is why I'm picking them to sweep the Browns, because you got all uppity with your 0-2 nonsense. So kiss my butt.
Pretty much.
Even though we greatly appreciate you listening, but kiss my butt. Now, so if that's the case, then we're 8-4. Now we're 9-4. I don't know. I don't know what the Bills are yet, okay? I just don't know what the Bills are yet. That defense looks pretty tough. We'll see. I'm a little more hesitant about that game. Not because I think the Bills are barn beaters or world beaters, but let's say they have a letdown at that point. They lose that game because they're going to drop one they shouldn't drop, I think, at some point. That makes us, 9-5? And if we split with the Ravens, which I think is a legitimate possibility, and we beat the Jets, that's 10-6.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's unrealistic considering the way this schedule. You're going to lose the games you probably are expected to lose. As long as they do the right things, a 10-6 schedule or a 10-6 season, considering the way that this poop show started, man, that would be a hell of an end up. I think, and could get you a wild card spot, could get you the division.
And if it does get you all that, who deserves the credit for it? Who deserves the credit for that?
That would be one Mr. Michael Tomlin.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be interesting? So that's all I'm going to say about that. Anyways, folks, thanks for listening. Brian, thanks for joining me again, man. You're fired up.
Always a pleasure. I am fired up, damn it.
I'm going to let everybody know, too, that my Mason Rudolph jersey is on order already. And if I trusted that Minka wouldn't change his number next year, 39 just isn't. Yeah. That's not ideal. Sorry. So
I know Zacadonia thinks it's lit, but it's really not that lit. Yep. I mean, I'm glad he's on the team. I'm glad he has a number that isn't like, really hideous, like 46 or something.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
But 39's not lit. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, it's passable. I'll deal with it.
It's okay.
I'll deal with it.
It's okay.
So, all right, folks, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And until next time, my name is Joe. His name is Brian. And we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.